Hey, thanks. You could have been a lot of places this morning, but you're here because God was drawing you in by His Spirit. And, you know, I just marvel at the fact that we get to live in such an incredible place, you know. I was out at Carkeek Park yesterday, and so got to go out in a kayak and set some crab pots, and I didn't get to harvest the crab because I had to leave earlier, but I was out paddling out there and looking out over this beautiful landscape of in front of Carkeek Park and the Ridgeview neighborhood and all of that, and looking up and saying, Jesus, I can't believe that I get to live here. It's just one of the most gorgeous places in the world, and I can't believe that you could have called me a million places to be a pastor, but you call me right here in Seattle. But sometimes, I know for me, I get more caught up with God's gifts and His presence than I do with His presence, if that makes any sense. You know, God is so good to us. He gives us a lot of gifts. He gives us a lot of presence because He just flat out loves us. But I know what He wants is for me to be as excited about Him as I am about the stuff He gives me. In fact, you know, with my own kids, if I ever give them a gift, I'm hoping, I love it when they're, you know, all excited about the thing that they get. And you know, of course, they don't do that anymore. They don't get all excited because they're too old. But when they were little, you know, it was like, whoa! I love watching that. But what's way more important than that to me is when they come along, sidle up next to me, and maybe sit down next to me, and when we have a conversation. Right now, when our kids, you know, call from New York or call from LA and say, hey, Dad and Mom, how are you doing? Just wanted to talk. That is what really touches my heart. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with God. Do you realize that you are created in His image? Of all the stuff that He created, only human beings are created in His image. The angels aren't. The animals aren't. As much as we love them, Fido is not created in the image of God. And it's only we as human beings who have this unique relationship where God says, I created you in my image, and he's put something of Himself stamped onto us. And He calls us into deep relationship with Him. That's an amazing thing. Now, we've been talking during this month of July about what it means to care for the deeper part of me, to care for my soul. And caring for my soul is truly caring for the most important part of who I am. And today, I want to talk in particular about how the Spirit of God works in caring for my soul. When I think about that, there is a song that comes to my mind, and maybe some of you know it, maybe some of you don't. It's the old spiritual. It goes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray, hey, hey, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Anybody know that song? Oh, like four of you. Okay. The thing is that when the Spirit moves in us, what happens? There is a response. He moves me to respond in some way. When I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. And so today, I want to talk about how the Spirit of God works in our hearts to care for the deepest part of me. how the Spirit of God works in my soul. And so you've got, if you've got your bulletins, there are sermon notes in there, 5 points. And today, we're really going to be going over quite a bit of scripture. Because in order to understand how God's Spirit works and what he does, we kind of have to trace from the Old Testament into the New Testament and a transition in the way that God's Spirit worked in the old, what's called the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And so you'll need to just follow along. We'll look at the scriptures together, and we'll try to unpack them a little bit. But the first point in the notes is this, that in the Old Covenant, the work of the Spirit was on special occasions and for special people. In the Old Covenant, it was all about special occasions and special people, particularly the people that we see noted in Scripture are the prophets and the kings and the artisans. That God would, see, God is, the way he reveals himself in Scripture is that he is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is this person of God by which he interacts with us in a very direct kind of way. But in the Old Testament, it was for special occasions and special people. So one of those was kings. The kings were anointed, and when they were anointed, that anointing was to symbolize that the Holy Spirit was coming upon them. Anybody ever been? I'm sure probably you have not been. I went to a kind of a funny church, a real like literal church one time, where they believed in anointing like really like Old Testament. And so I knelt down and they poured oil over my head. Anybody ever had that done? It is really interesting because what happens is the oil pours down, it comes through your hair, and then it starts going down your neck and going down over your body. And it's like really warm because the oil is warmed up by your body. And so it's kind of, and it comes down really slowly. So not like water, of course. And so it gives you this feeling of like, ooh, something moving over your body, you know? In a way, and that's how they would anoint in the Old Testament. It was a pouring of oil over the head. And in some ways, that's a really good illustration of, or symbol for, the Spirit. Because the Spirit begins to flow over us, and we sense him, and it's very tangible, it's very physical. The kings of the Old Testament were anointed. There's a scripture in Samuel that we'll put up there on. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs, there were signs that were spoken of, were fulfilled. When he and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came powerfully on him, and he joined in their prophesying. Saul was anointed, and then the Holy Spirit came on him, and he actually prophesied. Now, Saul's experience with the Holy Spirit was kind of interesting. The Holy Spirit is not always predictable in his ways. And in fact, there's one time when Saul, he was overcome by the Spirit and he was prophesying, and it was like he didn't even really want to necessarily, you know? There's an interesting book that I read a few years ago called Wild Goose Chase by a guy named Mark Batterson. And Mark says that the Celtic Christians, that they had a unique term for the Holy Spirit that they called him the wild goose. Now, why would they call him the wild goose? Well, because he's not predictable. You can't tame him. You can't fit the Holy Spirit in a box and say, okay, he's got to do this and he's got to do that. The Holy Spirit is not someone that we can fit into our systems, that the Holy Spirit actually wants and has, takes the freedom with us to do sometimes some very unpredictable and crazy kind of things. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is, you see in the Old Testament, is that he would come upon the artisans and give them special abilities. So a passage in Exodus 31, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I've filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and an understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship.'" What's going on here? Well, actually, the Holy Spirit came on this one individual, Bezalel, giving him unique ability to create artistic designs that were going to bring glory to God. It's kind of like, I was thinking about our worship team this morning and about their skill and about, you know, just how much ability is there, and how encouraging that is to me that, you know, as they're up there playing and singing and doing their thing, it's like, man, yeah, my spirit is stirred up, and it's like, yeah, they've got special abilities that are given by the Holy Spirit. This is a cool thing. Now, they practice and everything, you know, as well, but there's this unique kind of interaction between God's Spirit and my own abilities, and he fills them out. And that happens. We get to experience that. But see, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, it was the Spirit of God to special people on special occasions. But then point two, what happened in the New Covenant is something very different. That in fact, God's Spirit comes all the time for all the people. The Holy Spirit coming upon someone, it used to be just for unique folk. Now, in the time of the New Covenant, it is wide open. In fact, in the New Covenant, one of the signs of the coming of the New Covenant was that God started working by his Spirit in really unique ways. There was a time where there had not been any prophetic witness in the people of Judah for 400 years before Jesus came. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit starts working. And just the other day, Karen and I, we were up in Vancouver, BC, and went to an art exhibition in the art gallery, the main art gallery up there in Vancouver, BC. And we saw this picture. It's a Botticelli. I'd seen it in, you know, on the internet before. I'd never seen the real thing. It's Botticelli. What's he picturing here? You have any idea? There's an angel there on the left. That angel is Gabriel. And the person on the right is who, do you think? It's Mary. And Gabriel is announcing to Mary, hey, you are going to conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. And so he pictures it with this gold, and it uses gold leaf. And so up on the left there, it's the, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. And boom, he's piercing through to Mary. It's Botticelli's. It's a graphic kind of an illustration of, wow, the Spirit's working. He's doing something. He's coming, and he's actually, you're going to conceive this baby in you by the Holy Spirit. Boom! Pierce. What happened was that when Jesus came, the Spirit started working. And all of those Old Testament prophecies about how the Spirit was going to be poured out started to be fulfilled. Just let's look at some of them. Ezekiel 36:26. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Or Jeremiah 31, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. This is the covenant I'll make with the people of Israel after that time. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I'll be their God and they will be my people. Or Joel 2:28, and it'll come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. What's going on? God's saying, you know what? It's not going to be just a few people. It's not going to be just for kings. It's not going to be just for prophets. It's going to be for everyone. My Spirit is going to change you. He's going to work in you. He's going to move in you and change you from the inside out. So this thing that used to be just for kings is now for all of us. Jesus comes and then he says, you know what, when I go away, when I ascend to heaven, when I go to the Father, I'm going to ask the Father and he's going to send the Spirit. And point three in your notes, that's Holy Spirit. He's going to be there for this particular reason. That he is going to, the distinctive result of the Spirit's activity after Jesus ascended, he's going to give you power for witness. He's going to give you power for witness. The passages that tell us about that are Luke 24:29. Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then Acts 1:8, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. When I was a kid, many of you know this, I was part of this church. And so one of the things that we would do in this church often was we would pray, oh God, fill us with your Spirit. We need your power. And I knew that I needed God's power. I really knew I needed it because I was definitely a U-boat Christian. I mean, I'd come up on weekends here at church, and then I'd go down deep during school and didn't let anybody really know that I was a believer. And I wanted to tell my friends. My friend Brent, who was one of my best friends in sixth grade, I remember thinking, man, I got to tell Brent about Jesus. But it was like just way too scary for me. I was just convinced that if I told Brent about Jesus, that Brent would laugh at me, that he'd think I was dumb or stupid, and I felt dumb and stupid anyway. And so there was just a lot of fear inside of me. There was no power to tell people about Jesus. When I was 16 years old, I went to Germany, and I was a foreign exchange student in the city of Hamburg. And boy, then my U-boat went even deeper, you know, because not only was I dealing with the fact that I was a Christian and maybe a little different than the family that I was living with, but I was also an American in the middle of the Vietnam War, constantly being called upon to account for the American presence in Vietnam. I was 16 years old. I could not do this. And I was just happy when people just left me alone, you know. And so I was like, oh, I did not tell people about Jesus, but I knew that, you know, God was stirring something inside of me. I was like, oh, Lord, I want so much to tell people about you, but I just feel like there's just no power there. I kept praying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now, Scripture tells us that when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, that something really powerful happened. That God, in fact, he sent his Spirit and that there were like tongues of fire that came on him. Now, I know this sounds a little bit like Botticelli's, you know, gold leaf piercing Mary, but there were tongues of fire rested on the disciples, and they began to speak in other tongues, in other languages, as the Spirit gave them that ability to do it. And that there was a power that happened in that moment, and they began to, with great forcefulness, talk about the living Christ. And I had been praying and praying and praying, God, fill me with your Spirit and fill me with your Spirit. And it was like, oh, when's this going to happen? I went to camp that fall. This was in, I guess it was August of then 1970, just before I graduated. I'd just come back from Germany. And God began to really do something inside of me. In fact, he did fill me with his Spirit. He did give me another language, a prayer language, to praise him in. And I went to school that fall, and there wasn't this huge difference. But I remember talking to Sandy. Sandy was this girl that I knew, really, really cute girl that I sang with in swing choir. And she was my partner. And so after swing choir one day, she was saying, Steve, you know, I'd really like to talk to you. I'm kind of discouraged, kind of down. I'd love to share with you about what's going on. And I'm kind of like, I don't think she said, I'd love to share with you. I don't think she used that language back then. But anyway, so I'm like, you know, I'm this 17-year-old kid, and there's this cute girl who wants to talk to me and tell me about what's going on in her life. It's like, yeah. And so we go for a walk, and as she's kind of telling me about just how discouraged she is and how down she is and what a struggle, my heart starts beating. And I'm like, boom, boom, boom. I'm thinking, Sandy can hear this. This is like so loud. And I'm like, oh, man, you know I've got to tell her about Jesus. And it's boom, boom, oh, you know. And so she's telling me about all these struggles. And finally, you know, I'm like, oh, Sandy, you know, have you ever thought about that maybe what you might need is God? My voice cracked, you know. And she looked at me, and I'm just ready for her to laugh at me. And she looks at me, and she says, you know, Steve, I think you're right. I'm like, whoa! All of a sudden, what was beginning to happen, you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you and to be my witnesses. God was beginning to change me, to build courage inside of me, to share his story. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's not He's not given to us just so that we feel good. The Holy Spirit, the unique mark of the Spirit is that he gives us power to tell Jesus' story. Two other things about what the Spirit does. Point number four, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the manner in which we work as a partner with God. The fruit of the Spirit is the manner in which we work as a partner with God. When I was a kid, my dad showed me how to use tools, woodworking tools. I never became a good woodworker, an expert woodworker, but I learned how to do several things. Like my dad showed me how to put my thumb up against the side of the saw and where I'd drawn the line to draw the saw back and to score the wood so that then when I went forward, it stayed in line and I kept on a straight line as I would saw. And he taught me that when I held the hammer, I shouldn't hold it up towards the head and pound because I don't get any leverage, I don't get any weight, that I need to hold it toward the back and let the hammer do the work. And he taught me that when I take a screwdriver, that if I place it in the palm of my hand, that I can both press down and hold it in place, that I don't have to use two hands to screw. Now, To be honest, I still use two hands way too often, you know. But he tried to say, no, you don't need to use two hands. You know, you can twist that screwdriver. And he told me how to use the tools. But there was something else that my dad did that was probably more intangible and almost more important. And that's that he taught me about the way in which I should work. So he taught me careful measurement. Measure twice, cut once. He taught me about putting tools away when I was finished with them. And I still remember leaving the hammer out one time for a whole week as it sat out in the yard, and then finding it and bringing it in. It's all covered with rust, and looking at my dad's face, and it's like, no, I'm sorry. You know. He taught me about picturing the finished project in my mind before I started. The importance of drawing plans. He taught me about sticking with it till I was finished and the value of perseverance. He taught me about keeping calm when I made a mistake, that if there's a mistake that you make, don't get all freaked out about it. Just stay calm and deal with it. He taught me about not being afraid to try anything. We can do this. We can tear apart this dryer. We can figure out how it works, and we can put it back together. Those things, those attitudes, those manners in which I go about things and do things are just as important as mastering the tools. And what are those? Well, see, that's what the Spirit gives us in the fruit of the Spirit. It's the way in which we do God's work. It's those heart attitudes. And that's what God is working in your heart right now. Galatians 5, we'll put it up there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's like my dad teaching me how to do the work, the manner in which I do the work. The Holy Spirit comes into us and he's building those characteristics. Right now, if you're a follower of Christ, he's in the process of building those very characteristics into you, the way in which you do his work, the way in which you encounter the world around you. Not getting uptight when things don't go your way, being patient, showing love, love for all people, even those who are difficult to love. being gentle in your mannerisms, demonstrating self-control even when you want to fly off the handle. That's what God's building into us. And then the tools. The tools themselves are the gifts of the Spirit. So, point number five is that the gifts of the Spirit are the tools with which we work as we partner with God. And He's got amazing tools for us. Let's read them. Read some of them together in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. I have this dream about, as each one of us is allowing the Spirit of God to do His work within us, that we begin to discover that those gifts, those tools for work, those tools for helping others are right there at our disposal, are more readily available than we even know or think about. And a lot of times it's not like He gives us these tools and then we feel like, oh, wow, you know, I got my superpower. I got my X-ray vision. No, you know, we don't even know sometimes that God's using us in that way. For instance, let's take the gift of healing. I bet you many, many of you have prayed for people to be healed. And I have many times, and so many times I don't, you know, I just do it. I'm not feeling anything in particular. I got a call from Jacob Long just this week. Jacob Long is a guy, he's a Nigerian pastor. He came and he spoke here last year in September, just about exactly a year ago. And while I was here, his wife was really struggling. In fact, she had a condition. She was extremely weak. If I remember right, she wasn't able to keep food down. They didn't know what was going on. The doctors were really concerned, and I don't think I realized to what extent they were concerned, but they were concerned for her life. And so Jacob, he wanted, you know, me to pray for his wife. I said, man, yeah, of course, you know, I'll pray for her. No, I want you to pray with her on the phone, you know. So we're talking on the phone. I'm praying for his wife, this person I've never met, Nigerian, thick accent, hard to understand, and then plus it's in Africa. And so it was like, you know, I did my best to pray for her, to pray like, Lord, yeah, touch her, deliver her, do your work. Release your healing in her life. Well, Jacob called me up and he said, you know, Pastor Steve, I'm coming again. I'd really love to tell the church about what God did, because, you know, you remember he healed my wife. And we were concerned that she was even going to live, and she lived and she's doing great. And to be honest, I couldn't even remember that I'd prayed for her. It was like, oh, wait a minute. I really had to think about it. And then I realized, you know what? God equips us with tools for helping others and for doing ministry. And sometimes we don't even realize He's doing it. There is more possibility for us to make a difference in the world than we even know. Because you know what God has done? He's made our bodies the temples of his Holy Spirit. And he gives us his tools, and he gives us his attitude. One of the people that I love talking with Katrina, because I love to see just the gentle way in which God has put his gifts into her life. And one of the things that she has been, Katrina, do you want to just talk down? You want to come up above or down below, or we can do it both ways? Yeah. So Katrina is. Yeah. Okay, you can stay here. It's fine. Tell us about spiritual direction, but tell us about how God pulled you in by his Spirit to be used in this way, okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
I first heard about spiritual direction about 15 years ago, and it was a woman who was an intern at the church that I was attending at the time, and she told me that she thought it was something that I'd be good at. And so I really couldn't wait to look at the information, and got in my car and was like, what? I don't know what this is, and kind of set it aside. And through different nudges from God, it just kind of kept like coming back to me. And there was a person who had asked me, you know, what is it that gives you joy? And I said, you know, I have to say that it really is just seeing God at work in my life and in other people's lives. At the time, I was really new coming back to church. I grew up in the church, but I'd been away from it for a long time. And just having a relationship with God as a living God that was in my everyday life was a new thing to me. And then I realized that I think that kind of sounds like what spiritual direction is. And it is what spiritual direction is. It's a discipline that's open to anybody who desires to have a deeper relationship with God. And in spiritual direction, we really move from reflecting about, from just talking about God to really our awareness and experience of him. And just in doing this, talking about him, it immediately starts to increase our awareness of him. And that's really the primary aim of spiritual direction. It's one person who's the director listening to the other person who's called the directee and helping them to discern what God is saying in their daily life, because God is always talking to us and he's always doing something new. And it's just creating a space for God. We're all so busy, and taking the time to listen honestly to what's going on in our life and how might God be nudging us. There's a book that's called Spiritual Direction for Every Christian, and the author says it cannot be said too often or too firmly that the only true director is the Holy Spirit. The direction is two people sitting down together in an attitude of prayer to try to discern where the Holy Spirit is directing. And Eugene Peterson said, spiritual direction is the space to explore the everyday ordinariness for the presence of God and the workings of grace precisely at those times when nothing seems to be happening. Because something's always happening. When I first went into the spiritual direction program, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if I wanted to be a spiritual director or what that would entail, but as I went through the spiritual formation process, I found that it was exactly where I belonged. And God knew that. He set it up that I would find out about this. And what I really loved about the program was that I was encountering God in a deeper way, and coming to know him personally. And I really longed for other people to be able to do that too. And so through the program, I was learning that just through sitting down with people, listening, paying attention to what's going on in their life, it can help them to see what God is doing. And it's just been such a blessing for me in my life, going through ups and downs, as we all do, just to have that consistent person to speak with, to open up and be really honest. Sometimes it can be hard to be honest with ourselves even, but to find a trusted person that we can talk to, because it's really easy to think, well, I can't let anybody know this because then they really won't like me and I don't want them to think bad of me. But that's like such a lie, because when the truth sets us free and when we can speak the truth, speak about our lives and be heard and accepted for that, it's so healing. It's so healing, and it's such a blessing to me that God introduced me to spiritual direction, and I feel really called me to be a spiritual director, and that's kind of how I came to know about it. There's so much, you know, more I could say about what spiritual direction is and what it's been in my life, and if you're interested to know more, of course, you can stop me anytime. I'd be glad to listen and talk to you about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Katrina. Yeah. What I love about Katrina's story is that God took something that was already a part of her, which is a deep desire to be connected with God in an intimate way, and then also this characteristic of compassion that's really a part of her life, compassion for others, and he blended those two things into, oh yeah, you know, I can help people draw in tighter with Jesus, tighter in their relationship with the living God. And this blending of the giftings that he put into her life with the working of the Spirit. And the faith that I have, the hope that I have, is that in our wild goose chase, so to speak, in our following after and listening to what the Spirit is saying and what he's doing, that he can open up opportunities in front of us that are amazing in touching a world that really needs hope and really needs the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where, you know, you're at personally in your faith journey. But I do know that the scripture says deep calls to deep, and that he just continues, he's continuing to pull you in, to draw you in. God wants nothing more than for your relationship with him to be right, for you to experience his forgiveness, but even more than that, to experience his power. And you're an amazing creature. You're created in his image. His image is stamped upon you. And the potentiality that is there, the Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what we even ask or imagine. And so as we sing this song now, again, I would just want to invite you to, like we did last week, if you were here last week, we just had a time where if you want to ask God to guide your life, if you want him to ask him to take more control in your life, if you want to ask him to unfold the giftings of the Spirit in your life, if you want to ask him to fill your life, sometimes we need to take a concrete step and say that yes to him. And so coming up and praying at the front is a way of doing that. It's a way of just saying, God, I may not understand all of this. I may not understand all of what you want to do in me, but please, I want you to guide my life. And I want to follow after what the Spirit is saying and doing. And so we'll sing the song. Go ahead and stand up as we sing. And if you'd like to come as we sing the song and just kneel or stand at the front here and say yes to him in that way, I invite you to come.
And then right now we're actually given the opportunity to respond to what it is we just heard and to what it is God and the Spirit is really moving inside of us. So as you grab your seats, I'm going to ask that you would maybe take out that connection card that we referred to earlier in the service, and on the back of it you'll find a number of options in which, and really they're just suggestions in which we can in fact respond to this morning's message. I think Steve said it best at the very beginning of his message. He said that when the Spirit moves, he often moves us to respond. And so we want to do that. We want to be obedient to the Spirit when he's nudging us. And I love that word Katrina used. When the Holy Spirit is nudging us, it's an opportunity for us to respond. And so maybe this morning, in light of this message, your response could be in one of these takeaways, one of these action points. And that's first to specifically ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And just like Steve kind of shared his story and his journey towards that taking place in his life, maybe that hasn't been something that's happened for you yet. Maybe that's a prayer that you need to pray or continue to pray until you know that the Spirit has been put inside of you and is guiding you and is leading you. Or the second thing is that you could choose to pray in your prayer language each day this week, thus allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Or to ask God to demonstrate the following fruit of the Spirit in your life. Maybe there's one of those that stood out, and as he was reading them in the text, you were like, wow, that's the one I really need to work on. Like, that's the thing that I still don't have a grip on, and I need God's help in that. Maybe this week it's to grow closer in that, or to thank God that he has made our bodies as living temples. Or as God empowers you this week to maybe tell someone this week about what Jesus has done, not only for you, but for them, maybe share your testimony and also invite them to share in a relationship with Christ as well. All great options. Or maybe the Holy Spirit is nudging you to do something completely different. But my encouragement to you is, please just be obedient. Just be obedient to what God's leading you to. We're going to collect those connection cards as the ushers come forward. And when we pray for offering and we pass the plates, we're just going to encourage you to put those connection cards in as they pass by. And it's really so that we can pray with you and for you as you journey in your relationship with God. Would you bow your heads with me real quick as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask that that you would speak to us and you'd speak clearly, God, that Lord, we would not just sense, but we would know that you're seeking to work through us and in us, that God, your Spirit is continually nudging us to something, to some sort of response, some sort of action. And God, I just pray, Lord, that we would become confident in that. Lord, we'd know what it is to be obedient, not only to your scripture, but also to your promptings and to your leadings and to your nudges. And so help us to grow in that this week and for the rest of our weeks. Lord, we also pray for offering. We pray, Lord, that the finances that do come in and the money, the tithes, the offerings that do come in, we truly pray that it would go to grow your kingdom, not on earth, but in heaven. And so, God, we give this offering to you and that it would be used with your guidance. In Jesus' name.